fever down in my soul. That alpha fever. Zoom, zoom, zoom. My brother, I love my black and gold.
Ooh, sis.
I got the fever all in my body. The fever down in my soul. That alpha fever.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the first episode of First Impulse, a podcast by the Brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, Pi Epsilon Lambda Chapter. PUL will celebrate 30 years of doing the work of Alpha in August 2023. First Impulse is a look back at those 30 years and forward as we continue this work. I am Mike Richardson, Spring 22 Initiate of Alpha Phi Alpha via the Pi Epsilon Lambda Chapter, and I will be one of your guides on this journey. My big brothers will be along and lend their voices to the discussion. We hope to not only provide some insight into the work we do, but also how that impacts our community of Prince George's County, and hopefully how you can be involved. This week, we're beginning at the beginning. Our chapter's seventh president, Brother Tony Harris, sat down with our chartering president, Brother Alex Bailey, to capture the origins of Pi Epsilon Lambda. Alpha Phi Alpha, being the first black intercollegiate Greek letter organization, means firsts are important to us. How you start informs how you will go. So we invite you to take this journey with us through the very beginnings of our beloved chapter. There's a lot to be learned. We hope you enjoy the ride.
A group of us, there's about seven of us, a group of us decided that we needed to be more about community interaction. And what we looked at was the fact that Prince George's County is extremely large. It's made like a boot, but at the same time, you had Kappa Epsilon Lambda that was somewhere close to the middle of the county. Mm-hmm. And yet, our outreach seemed to be just right there where we were.
Right.
And this group that I'm referring to, we just felt like we could do more, mm-hmm. and we should be able to do more. So one of the reasons after we looked at the election, we was like, you know, we should be able to expand. Mm-hmm. KL has a chapter of 100 members, 100 plus members, mm-hmm. or let's just stick with 94 members. Mm-hmm. And if you subtract 6 from 94, that leaves them with a large number of membership.
Right.
And so that was the idea, you know, let the 6 of us leave and we will start a new chapter, form a new chapter in the southern part of the county, mm-hmm. Brandywine, mm-hmm. and we would be able to bring services to Brandywine, even though services should still continue in the middle of the county through KEL.
Okay.
That was the initial idea. Within the 10 years, mm-hmm. this group that I'm talking about, we left an imprint on KEL, I believe. Okay. And they were more okay. into community, but they also went through a change. You had, in terms of the ages of the membership, there was a shift from older to younger.
Okay.
In KEL. Mm-hmm. And along with that shift came that more interaction with the community. We had a good relationship despite the fact that we, quote unquote, broke away from KEL. Mm-hmm. We still had a good relationship. We even did some activities, some programs together, mm-hmm. several times. Mm-hmm. And then the chapters they went into their own corners and doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. There were maybe 3 or 4 different presidents since me who made it a focus to make sure that there was more interaction, support mm-hmm. between the two chapters. Mm-hmm. And so that has happened. So I would say almost all of us old heads who had any type of second thoughts about another chapter being in the county, a lot of us that have moved on and we don't have, quote, an issue of the two chapters. We've been in existence and in friendly competition for a number of years.
Right, right.
We've been chapter of the year three or four times, and they've been chapter of the year two or three times. And that was something that they were not doing when I was there. They were not even in the competition for chapter of the year. Mm-hmm. We just didn't do that.
Okay. All right. Now, first of all, who were those other brothers that left KEL to form PUL? And were there any efforts amongst the members of KEL to dissuade brothers from leaving?
The other five members of the what I call the catalyst for PUL, alphabetically, of course, I would come first. And then it was Raymond Blackstone, Brother Brown.
Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown.
Okay. Brother Thomas Brown. And Robert Kirkman, Albert Perrine Sr., and J. Keith Wilson. Almost each one of us had been involved in leadership in KEL at some point, or we were on active committees that were doing work. We were doing the work. There were definitely more people working than just the six of us, but the six of us made a significant impact on the programs and the committee aspect of work that was being done. So that did have a very harsh effect on the chapter that the committee workers were basically leaving.
Okay.
But that didn't deplete Kappa Epsilon Lambda of all of their work.
Tell me about the process of forming a new chapter. What are the steps that you had to take to do that once the decision was made that we were going to form a new chapter?
Let me talk about one thing and then I'm going to get to your question.
Okay.
I want to tell you about these worker bees and the catalysts that I just mentioned. Something I didn't know, none of us knew except for Brother Kirkland. Brother Kirkland had wanted to leave and start a new chapter for several years.
Okay.
He wanted to leave KEL and start a new chapter for several years. What none of us knew, it was that he had been accumulating names of people who had visited the chapter, had been invited to join Kappa Epsilon Lambda, and these folk, for some reason, didn't join. Whatever their reasons were, I don't know. And so he ended up having a list of names that none of the rest of us knew about. Each of the rest of us anticipated that the chapter would be somewhere between 8 and 15 members starting a new chapter. That's what we anticipate until Brother Kirkland sprung on us that he had a list of 50-some names. Again, we didn't know that when I was trying to find the answer to the information that you just asked. What does it take to start a new chapter?
Right.
Brother Daryl Matthews, who's a good friend of mine, and had been and still is, was the executive director at the headquarters at the time.
Right.
So I basically made a phone call and talked to my friend and said, what do I have to do? Or what do we have to do to start a chapter? He laid out the criteria. And the criteria basically was we needed people in leadership, district director, regional vice president, to be able to sign a letter stating that we were active members who wanted to start a chapter, and most importantly, that where we wanted to start a chapter, we could justify the feasibility of a chapter there. So I went to our district director, who was Sam Wilson at the time. Sam had no problems in signing our letter. Mm-hmm. I went to our regional vice president, who was Tony Mann at the time, Eastern Region Vice President Tony Mann, and he had no problems in signing our letter. So we were able to satisfy all of the criteria. And when I sent the anticipated names, I sent in all 61 names of individuals who wanted to be a part of this new chapter, okay? And of course, I also had to submit, at that time, $100 per person. So we submitted a $6,000 check.
In 1993, that was quite significant.
Absolutely. We had the approval of our district director and our Eastern Regional Vice President at $6,000. At that time, I doubt seriously if anyone could have stopped us from starting a chapter.
Well, it's still a nice piece of change, but but back then, yes.
Yeah. Back in 1993, I left the retreat. The retreat was on Saturday. And on Sunday night, I made my call to Brother Matthews. And on Monday, I began to submit the things that needed to be submitted. And within a week, everything was sent to the headquarters. August 1st was going to be the General Convention in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So we had until part of July, like mid-July, to get our information in. Mm-hmm. So it would be at the committee in time for the committee to act on it in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Met the criteria, submitted the money. And then I actually traveled to New Orleans to the General Convention.
Okay.
To appear before the standards, membership standards and extension committee in case there were questions.
Okay.
All right. So that was the process back then. Almost all of us, once we began to meet at Prince George's Community College, most of us perceived Bob Kirkland to be our leader. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was nominated to be the first president. First, he was nominated. My perception of being a worker bee is that even if you don't seek an office, if it's, I'll say, thrust upon you, mm-hmm. if they believe in you, if they want you to do it, you should do it. And so you should never hear the "I decline." Mm-hmm. That should not be within our vocabulary. So Bob shocked me by saying, "I decline."
Oh, really?
And I'm serious. It was overwhelming.
Did he explain why?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He didn't explain why. So their second in choice, that was me. So I became the first president of Pi Epsilon Lambda by unanimous consent.
Okay.
And I served for 2 years in that fashion.
Okay, so brand new chapter. What were some of the biggest challenges the chapter faced in those early years right out of the box?
There were many. And I am here to tell you that I broke many of the rules trying to overcome the obstacles that we were facing. Keep in mind that I'm talking about July, when 61 folk are coming together and all 61 don't know each other. Mm-hmm. Okay? We haven't had the opportunity to even work together. Mm-hmm. The primary glue for holding all of this together was the six catalysts. Mm-hmm. We knew each other. We knew various members of these other 55. Mm-hmm. And of course, Bob knew everybody because he knew the 55 that he brought in. And then I knew different ones. Keith knew different ones. Raymond knew some. Same thing with Tom Brown, and the same thing with Al. Everybody didn't know everybody, but everybody knew somebody. So that was the most difficult part, even when you're trying to work together. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're bringing people back in who have been out of the loop. They've been inactive, out of the loop. And a number of them are not even aware of how policies and procedures within the organization are supposed to be done. Mm-hmm. So trying to ensure that brothers are brought back in knowledge-wise to where they need to be so that we can conduct a genuine meeting became somewhat an arduous task. Mm-hmm. So if you look at parliamentary procedure and you see this procedure for holding a meeting, mm-hmm. I violated that.
Okay. Given all of those discussions that were happening in these separate rooms and coming back to the body as a whole. You know, everybody, all the chapters are required to fulfill a national program. So I'm assuming these discussions were around how we're going to do this. How did you do that in 1993?
That was easy. As far as we were concerned, we had obligation to the national organization to complete all of the national programs. It wasn't about three at the time when we first started, but we had an obligation to complete all three. And that's what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We worked with a school. We worked with Douglas down in Brandywine.
Okay.
We worked with that school. Then we ended up working with Largo High School. Mm-hmm. We worked with Suitland High School as well. Mm-hmm. So it was different high schools that we would end up working with, mm-hmm. and having our programs, our youth mentoring and tutoring programs. Mm-hmm. So it was those different high schools. Down in Brandywine, Bob had us up at 3 a.m, fixing breakfast for all of the honor graduates out of the high school. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do it.
All right.
We had a guidance counselor at that school, and that's who we worked. We worked mostly with guidance counselors, mm-hmm. because at each of the high schools that we went to, our sort of entry was either the principal or the guidance counselor. Mm-hmm. And they would tell us their needs, and we would make sure that we addressed those needs.
So working with those schools, you were to fulfill go to high school, go to college, and Project Alpha.
Absolutely.
What about the hopeless people? The hopeless people.
We were meeting at Prince George's Community College, so we would have the voter education empowerment seminars at the community college. Okay. And we would invite either someone like Brother Floyd Wilson, who had been a former council member, mm-hmm. Or other council members that were active at the time, active on the council. We would have them come in and talk about voting rights, talk about the candidates, and we even had candidate forums, mm-hmm. themselves.
Mm-hmm. Being the new chapter and being largely a chapter of reclaimed brothers who probably, you know, didn't know each other very well. Being a reclaimed brother myself, one of the things that I found when I joined Popsilon Lambda in 1999 was that it was a very welcoming chapter. And the other thing that I found that I liked about it a lot was that if you had some ideas, you could come in and present those ideas. As long as you had some information as to how it was going to work and how you're going to pay for it, if it costs any money, those sorts of things, you didn't have to wait your turn, so to speak, sit on the back bench. But in terms of brotherhood, since the brothers did not know each other that well for the most part, what was that like? How did you establish those personal bonds of brotherhood that get beyond just the work of the fraternity and whatnot? Did that take a while to gel or what?
It took a little while, but it didn't take long because we were able to address those issues as well. Mm-hmm. We knew where we were. Mm-hmm. We knew we were, quote, behind the eight ball in terms of knowing everybody. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you don't know everybody? You have to take the time to learn people. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I stressed was that the easiest and the best way to learn about other people is try to work with them. And so we tried to get everybody involved in a committee. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't more, you had the option of joining more than one committee. But we were like, come on now, at least get involved with one committee. Mm-hmm. And we would hold our committee meetings, like I said, mm-hmm. during the chapter meeting. Mm-hmm. We would have meetings. And then if you were involved there, that was good. We also use repast to assist.
Okay.
Because when you're sharing a soda or whatever else that you may have, if you're sharing that and you're having a chance to just talk, it's a lot easier to get to know somebody by just talking. And one of the things that I had learned, because I had been through a lot of different things in all of these years, you have to do reclamation in a certain fashion. Mm-hmm. You cannot just say, oh, come on back and be a part. Mm-hmm. And as soon as a person walk in the door, you over here in your little corner talking to your group.
Correct.
And you're not saying anything to them. Mm-hmm. You're not welcoming. You're not inviting. You're not even, you know, suggesting that you do something other than stand there. Mm-hmm. And I had learned that reclamation and retention requires work. Mm-hmm. You can't, like I said, you just can't invite them in. You got to help them. We're all alphas. So that doesn't help.
Doesn't help, though.
We're all alphas. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is you have to make that connection. In your case, University of Maryland, somebody else, University of Maryland, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay? Or a writer, another writer. Mm-hmm. So you use all of those things to try to help someone gain that extra little something that they can have to make a connection to someone else like themselves. Mm-hmm. Other than a whole room full of alphas. That doesn't help. Right. So that was something that the catalyst we had experienced together. Mm-hmm. So we knew that. Mm-hmm. And so it was easy for us to make sure that we didn't stand in a clump together talking to just each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We knew we had to go out and do the cross intersection and networking with folk so that they knew what else they had in common with somebody else other than all of us being alphas. Okay. In some instances, it was the university that they went to. In some other cases, it may have been the same chapter that they were made in originally. It could be government work. It could be their educational background, all those type of things, merit, non-merit, all of that. All of these different things were things that we used to try to make sure that there was a real connection other than the fact that we're all alphas.
Okay. You mentioned repass. Now, I recall when I joined the chapter, repass was after the chapter meeting, we would go to a restaurant. I think it was a favorite restaurant. I can't even remember the name of the place right now.
No problem.
But was that what repass was like then? Or
originally, no. A lot of times, repass was right here in my house.
Okay, so PUL Central, before it was PUL Central.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, I think when we first started out, we would actually, we were able to take food into the community college.
Okay.
So we were able to meet there. Mm-hmm. When things got to the point where we could no longer bring libations.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Okay. That's more or less what we moved here.
All right. Well, I remember my first year at the chapter, we went to a restaurant, and shortly after that I think I recalled we began to come to your house. Mm-hmm. and dubbed it PUL Central.
Yeah.
So the evolution of that was before I joined in 1999. Yes. It just broke for a minute, but it came back to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about PUL Central as a place where brothers could come and relax and get to know each other.
Oh, it was interesting. We were still at, okay, even though we were at like 61 charter members, we usually had anywhere from 30 to 42, 44 members show up for mm-hmm. a meeting, mm-hmm. which was great. So out of the 44, you might have another 10 that decide they were going to go home mm-hmm. as opposed to hang out together after a meeting.
Right.
Well, PUL Central could accommodate about 40 with no problem. Mm-hmm. Once we got beyond a certain number, that was when we had to start looking outside of PUL Central mm-hmm. because it was just difficult to accommodate because mm-hmm. we couldn't be all on the same level.
No.
We just couldn't be on the same level. So,
And things were very tight. Sometimes.
And they were still tight. And we had chairs and all of that. It was still tight. That's when we started moving to, again, restaurants and other meeting places.
Yeah. In addition to the fact that it's your home mm-hmm. and you have neighbors.
Yes. And parking was tight.
Parking was tight. Okay. All right. But I do recall fondly, actually, a number of times after chapter meetings, it's like sometimes in chapter meetings, you're waiting for the meeting to be over so you can get to PUL Central, to tell you the truth.
The thing about it is, we had the belief that if we were going to serve libations, we were going to follow the fraternity and mm-hmm. food had to be served. And so that's what we were doing. We'd serve food and serve libations. We were still looking out for each other just in case something happened.
Oh, of course, yeah. And that was a fantastic way, I think, to build that brotherhood bond.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Especially among brothers who are in an alumni chapter. And, you know, it's different when you're in a college chapter because you probably know everybody anyway.
Yeah.
PUL has a number of signature programs, so to speak. Yes. You know, the Men's Health Forum is a signature program. Father's Day Breakfast, I think at one point in time, Taste of Alpha may have been considered a signature program. Were the signature things that you might have called signature programs back in the early days, or were you just carrying out the national programs?
We believe in doing a few things that were social as well. During those first 2 years, that was just getting off the ground. Okay, we got off the ground under my administration. Under Ron Anderson's administration, we started looking at policies and procedures and trying to make sure we had those written out. We were using them, but they weren't written down. Under Keith Wilson administration, we more or less got back into the community service aspect. We were more focused on the national programs. When we get to Andre Watkins, Andre came up with an acronym, and it was whimsy, but it's right. What's in it for me? So he focused us on services back to the brothers. And it was fraternalism and brotherhood as well. It was just not work, 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 but what can I contribute? And, you know, what am I receiving? And the type of things that he was concerned about was making sure that brotherhood was what was being received and people were getting an opportunity to experience as well as deliver fraternalism.
Okay.
So we were brotherly and we were learning each other under my administration, but I will say I was more focused on trying to get stuff done and get us organized as opposed to really focusing mostly on fraternalism. I was able to focus on the bulk of fraternalism. I was trying to make sure that we were a full-fledged alumni chapter operating as such. And networking, yes. Getting us together so we know each other, yes. But making sure that the programs were done. Andre, once we get to Andre, we are like, okay, we are operating smoothly. We are doing things. We got our programs in place. We have our procedures in place. We are now, you know, we need to focus on making sure the brothers feel 100% involved in the chapter, in the fraternity aspect, in the brotherhood aspect, realizing that we can do what we need to do for the organization and we can do for our brothers as well. I give him the credit for that. When I look at all of the administrations, he's the one who basically set his focus on fraternalism and brotherhood. What's in it for me as a brother?
How has the chapter evolved since it's founded in 1993, in your opinion?
I would say that the chapter has evolved and in a very positive light. In a very positive light. There are things that I'm not happy with, but for the most part, I'm happy. When you talk about accountability, the chapter being accountable, the officers being accountable, the chairman being accountable, I'm happy. Okay. Do we respect the organization, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, and do what it says do according to our mission statement? I'm happy. We do that. Okay. The changes that we have, they manifest themselves only in terms of individual perceptions and thoughts or ideas. Some of those I'm not happy with. But to me, that really doesn't matter. As long as you respect the mission of the organization that gave us life and tells us what we're supposed to be about, then I'm happy. I think the other things that come down to personal preferences and choices, those things, they have to be worked out in terms of individuals having to be reminded of what the principles of the organization that we chose to be a part of, what those principles are. So that comes down to personal things. For me, I look at it and say, I know why I joined this organization. I know the requirements of being in the organization, and I am willing to subvert my personal will to that of the organization. I will respect the brand. I have no problems in respecting the brand. Matter of fact, if I ever get to the point where I can't respect the brand, I know how to go out and start my own organization. And that's what I encourage folk to do if you have a problem with the organization itself. Mm-hmm. If you don't like Alpha, you don't respect Alpha, if you want to change Alpha, don't change Alpha, change you. Mm-hmm. Go out and start your organization that you can feel extremely confident in. Mm-hmm. You can set the parameters. You can say what we are going to do. I'm the one that chose to say I am willing, not just chose, but I swore to uphold the constitution and bylaws of the organization. Mm-hmm. And I'd never said, I'm just going to uphold the ones I like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage all of the brothers to look at it in that fashion and realize that you didn't just say the stuff you like, you want that, but the stuff that you disagree with, you're going to just do whatever you want. So that's where my disagreement comes from.
Okay.
But overall, I think it's great to see a chapter evolve to some degree. I mean, we are so technologically savvy that mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in the dark ages.
Me too.
But I try. I try, and it's difficult, but I try.
Okay. Brother Bailey, as we wrap up this afternoon, first of all, I want to thank you for your time. I really do appreciate you spending the time talking with me about the history of the chapter and actually a lot of your own personal history. I learned a lot today about you as an individual, as well as about the founding of Pi Epsilon Lambda. But is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Let me just talk for a minute mm-hmm. about something related to your last question. Mm-hmm. I am extremely proud of the fact that this chapter has contributed to the organization, leadership, because the mission statement says we develop leaders. And yet, out of this chapter, we've had two individuals who actually have been the executive director and led the entire fraternity. Mm-hmm. We've had one person out of this chapter to be the editor to the Sphinx. You only get one of those. You have one person out of this chapter who's been the director of membership services, director of educational activities, the executive director of the National Educational Foundation. And when you get to the regional level, we've had a regional director of educational activities. I've been actually regional general counsel, along with being associated with that office for a total of 30 years. We've had associate area directors. We've had, that's about five of those. We've had about three area directors. We've had at least two district directors. We've had a MAC president, a MAC treasurer, the vice president. The architect of the Martin Luther King Foundation came out of this chapter, was made in this chapter. 61 charter members is the largest charting chapter in the history of the fraternity so far. Nobody else has charted with that many.
Well, 30 years standing, that's still a pretty good record.
Absolutely. The final thing I'll mention that I'm actually proud of, and this is something that I had in mind from the very beginning. I wanted this chapter to be able to touch all aspects of the community. Mm-hmm. And that's like the most proudest thing I could be proud of. We have worked with the elementary school kids through the foundation, with our Youth Leadership Development Institute. We have tutored and mentored middle school children, students. We've mentored or had a botillion for high school students,
high school students. We've given out scholarships, good Lord, to, I think in the amount, somewhere close to $300,000+ dollars in 30 years. We have worked with young adults, male and female, in shelters, men's shelters and women's shelters. And we've touched the senior citizens with food baskets. And when we go to Villa Rosa Nursing Senior Citizen Center, and we do the caroling at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. I think that's just great. We are not so self-centered that we can only think of ourselves. We're not self-centered at all, but we are looking at everybody and saying the community, the entire community, is what we need to touch, not just a specific segment. And for that, I am extremely proud of Pi Upsilon Lambda chapter, because whoever is in leadership, they understand what Pi Upsilon Lambda truly means. We're able to deal with the community in a selfless manner, and we're able to maintain the bonds of brotherhood and ensure that we are connected, not just by work, but in a fraternal bond as well. Mm-hmm. This is what makes me proud.
Thank you for joining us to reflect upon how we got to where we are. Throughout the limited run of First Impulse, we will uncover some of our history as we connect that to our current experience. Please join us next time as we discuss the upcoming election and what it means for all of us. See you in episode 2. This is First Impulse.